Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
Do you have any doctors or any intelligence out there at all?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance along with Dell, our final hour today. Patrick Paul is joining us here, left tackle from the University of Houston. I saw him at his coach's house last week, and we were hanging out. I said, I need to get some insight on what's going on with you and the NFL draft. Patrick's joining us. What up, Patrick? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, John?
How you doing?
Good. Doing good.
Lance Zierlein is here with us as well. NBA. Works for the NFL Network. Have you ever read his stuff?
NBA?
Patrick? NBA. Did I say NBA? NFL yeah. Network. Have you ever read?
I mean, I'll do some NBA stuff, too.
No, you won't.
Yeah, I have. And then I also met him. I met him about a year ago, also.
Oh, yeah.
John Daspit.
Yeah, the post-Oak.
So have you read what he's written about you?
I have.
And so tell him how stupid he is.
I mean, I wouldn't agree with what he said, but it's all good. You know how it is. It's motivation.
Most people don't agree. They don't look at the positive stuff. They only look at the negative, and that's it. Right. But that's fine.
Patrick, if we are grading...
That's fine. I frequently like being wrong. I don't have a problem being wrong on what I said. And I think Patrick goes in day two of the draft. I've got him currently slotted in the second round. Talked to a couple teams who have him there, too. One team is looking at him as a left tackle in that round, so I think that's going to be what it happens. I want to get to the process for you, Patrick. When you go through this, when you start, you don't know what you're getting into. Of all the things, from the training, from the interviews, from the combine, from Senior Bowl, you've gone through a lot right now. How has it been different than you expected, or what's been the biggest eye-opening thing through the whole quote-unquote draft season?
I'd say the biggest eye-opener was maybe the Senior Bowl. Kind of went there, and we learned a whole playbook and system in a day. So that, for me, was eye-opening, was having to retain that and go out there with that knowledge so you can play at a fast speed. You know, you want to impress people that are there watching you, so you don't want to mess up. So you really have to hone in like a night to get the plays down. So I'd say that's the biggest eye-opener for me. But the process, it's been amazing. From each step of the way, from the Senior Bowl to the Combine to the Pro Day, it's all been great. You know, you meet a lot of people, meet a lot of coaches, meet a lot of players, and that part of it is amazing.
Patrick Paul with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So Lance's his evaluation of you notwithstanding, where do you think, because you and I talked, there's a possibility of the first round. Where do you think you're going this week?
I mean, there's 44 games to watch of me. One of the most starts in this draft, so I'd say I believe I'm a top 32 guy. You know, you never know how draft night goes, but I hope to be called on Thursday.
You hope to be called on Thursday.
Well, you play a high priority position, and this is the thing: is there's going to be more than likely minimum of seven offensive tackles. One guy, you know, there's a player at Washington who may be considered a guard, but we're going to have a high number of offensive linemen drafted. Could be as many as, there's a chance it could go as high as 11. I don't think it goes that high, but we got a chance to break a record here. But the tackles once you start slipping in the back half of the first round, that's where the surprises happen. I know the three names, so there's Patrick Paul from Houston, there is Jordan Morgan, who is a tackle from Arizona, who could end up getting in there. And I'm trying to think, I feel like there's a third tackle. But being in a position of high need, being somebody with incredibly long arms, those are two things really working in your advantage. What have teams talked to you about in terms of playing on the left side, the right side, what they want you to do in year one? Do they get into what they think your growth potential is from a standpoint of becoming just an NFL player?
Yeah, definitely. You know, when I've gone on these visits and gone to these combine meetings, Senior Bowl meetings, I mean, they watch all the films. So I'd say, you know, they want to ask, yeah, can you play both sides? Some teams may ask, hey, can you play both sides? Some may just say, okay, you're a left tackle. So, I mean, yeah, I can play both sides. And as far as stuff they ask about, they'll say just, you know, need to refine the hands, which I agree with and which I probably tell them first is, you know, refine the hand placement and hand striking and also just the run game stuff. And I think it's all things that they understand. And they also knew the offense that we ran at Houston. So, I mean, they're pretty well in tune with how we were.
Well, and those are the two things I point out in mind that I think you – and you just agree with them. But I don't think they're – I mean, every player has things they need to work on. And they know – most of them who are like you are, you understand the things you have to work on. The hand placement thing is important for you because with your length – like I noticed at Senior Bowl, if you can get better timing on your punch – people can't get near you because you have rare, rare arm length, and it's all about getting your punch where it's supposed to be and getting it timed up because, you know, I've had people – I've had a couple teams ask me about, well, you don't think that Graham Barton, who is a player who played tackle at Duke, but he's got 32.5-inch arms. Like, that's just not long enough at tackle. It needs to be at guard. He needs to play guard or center. Because as my dad is a pro line coach, he just always says, look, people can downgrade length that they want, but when a guy has long arms and he's well-timed with it, first man in is usually the winner. Whoever can get hands on the other guy first is usually the winner. You have a big advantage in that regard.
Yeah, true that. I definitely agree. And it's something that I honed in on during this pre-draft process because I kind of got in the habit of catching last year during the season because it was successful for me. You know, I didn't give up a sack doing it. So, but it's definitely something that I've been refining throughout this pre-draft process when working with Duke was just hand striking and hand placement. So I'm actually really excited to, you know, go out there, whatever team gets me, and really punch the shit out of somebody.
Whoa.
The crap.
Whoa.
The crap out of somebody.
The mess.
No, but we like, no. No. I like that, though. No, you need to have that. No, that's part of being an offensive lineman.
You're
getting
worked up, Lance.
I like it. Good. We'll beep you again if we need to.
You're right up.
Don't worry.
He's
talking about how you got to play the position, and you're working with Duke Mannyweather, who's one of the best out of the Frisco area, and Duke does a really good job with offensive linemen, does a really good job. And I tell you, Duke is one of the rare people I've seen who can change the way, who can have instant changes in terms of how guys bend, like physical features. Duke is really, really good at working technique and some things like that as well. And the whole, he's really into the sports science of it all. Run blocking. Now, you talked about run blocking, and that's something that you can work on your bend and all that. But when it comes to run blocking and being a finisher and having, you talked about punching the bleep out of people, you know, that's that same mentality as a run blocker. It's more mental. Yes, there's technique stuff, no doubt. But a lot of it is a mentality as well. A lot of tackles have the, you know, you're so used to pass pro, that run blocking is not featured as much as we used to see. And that's something that has to be developed on the next level. What do you think about that in terms of mentality? Do you think that you had enough run blocking background? Talk about what you want to work on as a run blocker on the next level.
Yeah, definitely. I'd say just being more consistent with it. You know, whatever team drafts me, just honing in with that O-line coach and working the technique every single day and understanding what type of scheme they run and really just diving deep into it that I can get that consistency down in my head that you just keep that tenacious mindset so when you're out there and it's a run play, you're just moving a guy from point A to point B on a consistent basis. So, yeah, it just depends on where I go.
How many line coaches have you had? You've had at least...
I've only had two.
Okay. I knew you had a new one this year, and you had one before.
Yes,
I don't know if you've had three or just two, because that's something that can be tough for players, too, when they've got multiple voices in their ear over the year and you don't get that same consistency.
What teams have you been talking to, Patrick?
Well, I've talked to all of them throughout the process, but I visited with 11.
Who are your top 30 visits?
I mean, it'd be a little list. Let me think. I've been down south. I've been up north. I've visited with all the teams in New York. One, Cincinnati, Dallas. You know, there's a list. But, yeah, it's been a lot of travel, to say the least. But we're 3 days away now.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of guys say, man, I was shocked. Because you think, oh, that team really liked me. They really like me. I think that's where I'm going to go. They're telling me a lot of great stuff. And then all of a sudden, the team that didn't even talk to him is coming out of nowhere and taking him. So that's a real possibility as well. But teams have shown a lot of interest in you, haven't they? I mean, are you getting multiple calls from certain teams?
Oh, yeah. So I've almost Zoomed with the entire NFL as far as, like, O-line coaches just getting on Zoom and trying to find out your knowledge. Throughout the Senior Bowl, interviewed with all of them, Combine, had a lot of formal interviews. So there's a lot of interest, but like you say, you never know. You never know who's going to pick you on draft night. So it's kind of up in the air, but I'm kind of just ready, you know, wherever it is, and I'm just going to go in there, and I'm going to attack it.
Patrick Paul joins us right now, University of Houston left tackle. He is going to be in the NFL draft and is going to hear his name called pretty early here in the process. Who was a team/offensive line coach/GM? I don't care. Who's somebody that you had the most, whether it was enjoyable or interesting or memorable session with, whether it's Zoom or at the Combine? Who was that person? Who was that team?
At the Senior Bowl, actually, the first interview I had it was with the Dolphins, and this was at the Senior Bowl. It's kind of like speed dating, but the GM was sitting down at the table, and I don't think I knew at first. And that
Chris,
one was
Chris Greer.
Yes, that was interesting for me. Yeah,
in what way?
Because the questions he was asking. I mean, most of the time he was just staring at me, but the question he asked kind of made me think for a really long time, and I think he liked that because I didn't have the answer to it. I think it was like, what would people say about you that you wouldn't agree with? And I was just there. I was like, that was a good question, and it took me so long to answer because I really couldn't think. So, I mean,
apparently,
I think
you just say,
was...
have you seen Lance Zierlein's scouting report?
Yeah.
Apparently, you'd
yeah.
say that.
He's stupid.
Based on the way John's acting
right,
like.
Right.
But, no, but that is one of the ways that they test you to see what your psychology is in terms of you know, sometimes they want to see how – it's funny because teams have different ways of digging in. That could have been a question to determine, do you take in a bunch of output and does it overly bother you? Do you ignore the outside message? Or maybe it is, how introspective is this guy? You never know, but have you found that there are teams that really are – because offensive linemen have to be smart. Defensive linemen can be dumb. O-linemen has to be smart. You know that, Patrick.
Yeah.
But have you found that how much of this is psychological stuff that you've had to deal with different teams? Because some teams do psychological testing as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think they test you throughout the entire process. Whether even I just had a test recently with the Colts, and that was on a visit. So I'd say that teams they'll test you throughout just the whole process. You do a whole bunch of tests. Test your reaction speed or your memory or just flat out knowledge like math. So they definitely test you a lot throughout the process to see where you're at. But I think I passed all of those with flying colors.
I wonder if you took the S2 test. Do you know if you took that S2
test?
I did. What'd you think of it?
It was interesting. It was kind of fun. But it definitely threw me for a loop because I was trying to see how this applied to football, and I just couldn't. Yeah, I couldn't square them up. Midway, I was just like, okay, how would this? Some of them I could see with like the reaction, but like I was just like, how is this? I didn't understand it, but it was fun.
All right, here's a good question from a listener. Ask Patrick, when he flies, does he prefer to sleep or talk to a stranger, creepy stranger next to him for the duration of the flight? Patrick,
ooh, that's a good one. Depends on how my day's going.
Okay.
But
yeah.
If I'm tired, I'll be knocked out. But if not, I'm talking.
Okay.
Yeah,
plus,
I wouldn't say
creepy stranger. I think that's unnecessary.
Well, that's what we would. Claire. That's right. What Lance does. He talks to
and
everybody
so
on
would,
the flight.
So would the person
well,
sitting
Patrick
down
Paul
the,
was sitting
next
to me, I would light him up with about 45 minutes of conversation.
And you think he's looking
question.
For that? Are you looking for
he
that,
may
Patrick,
not be.
From a stranger?
He may be fine for the first 20 minutes.
Are you looking
you
for that,
on,
Patrick, or
he
no?
He told you it depends on his day.
Yeah.
And it depends on the day. But, yeah, you're definitely right. I'm kind of big, so, you know, people are going to be, you know, interested to see what I do.
Right.
So I'm going to start the conversation because they might not, you know, want to, but they might have questions. So I'll start the convo.
That's nice. See? That's Patrick's a nice guy. Nicer than I would be if Lance sat next to me.
He's way nicer than you, period.
Yeah. Lance does sit next to you and you're not nice.
Oh, really? Because I saw your evaluation of Patrick, and it doesn't seem like you were
all
that nice.
I'll get it out right now. I've got it on the computer.
Okay.
Well, quit acting like I killed Patrick Paul.
You know what? Patrick Paul is actually the nicest guy in the world for not just slapping the ship out of you like he wants to. Right.
You're almost cussing a lot.
No. Well, I'm trying to be like Patrick. Okay, and just drop S-bombs.
That's on me. I did not know. That's on me. I was going to censor myself.
Well, man, we're going to be rooting for you. Where are you going to be for the draft?
I'm going to be in Houston.
Yeah, good.
Down here with y'all.
All right, good, man. Well, we're looking forward to it. Can't wait till your name is called. That's going to be awesome. Congratulations on your success. I know your head coach loves you, and he can't wait for you to be drafted. He thinks you should definitely be a first rounder. And so I know that for a fact that he loves you as a player. So that's a great time. Best of luck this week. I bet you can't wait till it's over because it feels like forever, huh?
It has been forever, but I appreciate y'all having me on, and we'll see where I go this week.
All right,
the draft is just a day. Football starts shortly after that, and once you get drafted, it doesn't matter where you go, whether you're the first pick or the Brock Purdy pick. All the football is what decides how what that career looks
That's
like.
All.
So good luck in that.
Patrick, we appreciate you, man. Thanks for joining us.
I appreciate y'all.
All right, there's Patrick Paul with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Why are y'all trying to start stuff?
Now, the last earlier in the show.
Why are you and Dell trying to start stuff, but mostly you?
I didn't read the scouting report, so I don't know what you said about him.
Here's what's so horrible.
We got a break. All I know is that it was you said bad stuff about him.
Yeah, you have him below.
I've got a strengths and a weakness. Things that he needs to work on?
Here's the thing. That's right. And he said, you know what? I don't agree with his ass, but okay. And next time I see him, watch it. That's what he said.
He didn't say next time I see him.
He said, I believe.
Keep that same energy.
I believe the phrase was, it's on site.
He didn't know he said it's on site.
He said, keep that same energy.
Not even Marcus Golden said it's on site.
Okay, draft boy. Keep that same energy, draft boy.
Angriest person on the
time for me to talk about, and I said earlier in the show, I mistakenly said, you know, the IRS had something to do with your property taxes. They don't have anything to do with your property taxes. The government has all to do with your property taxes, but not the IRS. Here's the deal. I mistakenly haven't fought my property taxes before, and it was a big mistake. You actually have to, every year, this is a must for all of us. If you own a home, you pretty much have to protest. Because if you don't protest it, they're jacking up how much. When you look and see, wait a minute. It was so funny. Like a few years ago, we had just bought the house. And before the year was out, they had it worth like way more than we paid for it. And I'm like, how could that possibly be? How can it possibly be when I just paid for this house, you guys are saying it's worth a lot more? It's not. It's worth what I paid for it. But that's what the government will do. They'll do that every single time. They're always jacking it up. Always jacking it up. 86% of Ownwell's customers save on their property taxes. 86%. That means the government is wrong at least that amount. Okay? So here's the deal. You've got to fight it. You've got to protest it. I've protested mine before. It's much easier when you use a company that has all the technology and is experts. They're local tax experts and best-in-class customer support at Ownwell. No upfront cost, savings, or free guarantee. If you don't save, you don't pay. Save money on your property taxes with Ownwell. Sign up in less than 3 minutes and start your protest today at Ownwell.com. That's Ownwell.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dell, I'm sending you Dana Brown talking about Jose Abreu. I'm putting in the audio. It's really...
Are we allowed to play that?
He is the number one... Is it not? He is the number one subject, I think, of this season, which is... There's so many problems for this team. It's in the rundown now, Dale.
Are we allowed to play that since it aired on a certain local station?
No, this was an interview.
You can credit him.
Yeah. Well, it was. Well, maybe you're right. I don't know.
Off the air, guys.
It was an interview. It was a post game interview.
I'll take a look.
Yeah, take a look and see. Anyway, it was an interview. It wasn't a radio interview. So, in order, the problems for the Astros. In order, Lance. I think number one is all the pitchers on the IL.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Christian
on that
Javier goes on this weekend. That's the sixth starting pitcher on the IL.
You can't even compete with what they're dealing with. I mean, you can't be a competitive team.
No, not with six guys. Not with six. And for the most, you're starting six in a lot of. I mean, they should. They that would be one of the best rotations. The starters that have been
Justin's
on
back.
The IL. Well, Justin is
Justin's
back now, but he missed how many starts? Okay, so you've had six. Okay, that's problem number one. Number two, the back end of the bullpen.
Yeah, correct.
Number two is the back end of the bullpen.
Number three is just clutch hitting to me.
Number three is clutch hitting.
I mean, you can fade. Look, you can fade Jose Abreu. He's not going to be a full-time player. And you faded Machete.
Yeah.
For multiple years. It's not like you can't win with one guy who's a boat anchor of a hitter. You can. The difference is Machete has defensive prowess, and Abreu stinks on defense. But Abreu is not going to play. I mean, Abreu is not going to play that much, but John Singleton, like, that's going to be the answer?
So I don't – Abreu is down the – you know, having a hole in the lineup – Hey, listen, Machete was not great defensively last year either, and he kept on playing him.
But he's also
had some
a pitch.
Value because he was he was calling pitches.
Right, yeah.
Right. Abreu has no value. But it's not like we haven't seen this before, and you haven't been able to overcome a hole in the lineup, especially with the hitters that you have in this lineup. But you know what? Nobody's coming through. Good player, bad clip, but it doesn't matter. Nobody's coming through.
No.
Yeah, the lack of clutch hitting has been remarkably pitiful. It's remarkably pitiful. And I think that's a bigger problem than just Jose Abreu. Jose Abreu is down the list of problems for this baseball team. Now, he's a problem. There's no question about that. But everybody's pointing. I don't have a problem with Joe Espada right now. I just don't. I just don't think anybody could overcome
him. I don't either. And it's not because I know his team sucks, but... Like, I never had a problem with Dusty, only just some of the moves or non-moves Dusty made. Right now, his spot has been pretty much by the book, and it just hasn't – like, players are not playing well. I don't really have a problem with his lineups. I don't really have a problem with the way that he's moved guys back who have not performed well or moved guys up like Diaz early on in the season. I don't have a problem with him leaving starters in early in games when they're getting roughed up because – you would just beat the hell out of your bullpen if you didn't. Sometimes you just have to fade it and move on. You can't compound the problem by going to the bullpen too early. And the bullpen has sucked. So, yeah, I'm like, I get it. People want to be mad at a spot. I totally get it. Buck stops there at the manager. But what has he done that's upset you? Like, I can't find tangible moves or non-moves that I'm upset with that he screwed up. I can't find them.
Yeah, no, I can't find them either. So... when asked, like, we can't play this thing because I think it aired on Astros radio. He says, there's no way he's sugarcoating this. He's scuffling right now. I think he knows it. It's wearing on him. I'm sure it's wearing on our hitting coaches. The frustration mounts. But ultimately, hopefully, he can turn this thing around. I think we're going to have to give him some time off, maybe platoon a little bit just to see if one of the other guys can get hot and give him some time off. Maybe he can catch fire after a few days off. It's tough to watch when you see him go through this, blah, 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 blah. So they know it. It's not like they don't know it. Jeff Bagwell admitted it when he was on the broadcast. It's just it just is. It's about as bad as it gets right now with Jose Abreu. But you know what? There's a lot of problems with this team. A lot of problems with.
Don't
this
sign
team.
Old players on long deals. Memo to self.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. All right. 713-780-3776.
Can I tell you a quick story?
Sure.
This will take 1 minute.
I had no, a moment. So you've never told a story that lasts 1 minute.
Okay, put me on the clock, Dell. Yesterday, I was getting on an elevator, and right before I got on my elevator to go up to my room, I'm on the fifth floor. These two kids, cute little kids, get on the floor. Looks like a big brother and a little sister. I'm saying probably 6 and 4, if I had to guess. They get maybe 7 and 5. They get on. I say, can you push 5 for me? And he puts 5 for me. I think, thanks, buddy. No big deal. And he's driving up, and we're going up. They're going to 6, and I'm like, you know what? I should just be the nice guy on the elevator and say, hey, what's going on, guys? You guys having a good time or whatever? And then I realized immediately, if somebody talked to my kids, they're not supposed to talk to strangers. I'm stranger. Yesterday, I would have been considered stranger danger. Mm-hmm. And I'm not. I'm a nice person and a preeminent draft expert in the country. And yet somebody and let these kids would have considered me stranger danger. So I decided not to talk against my better judgment because I think I could have, you know, gave them a happy day, like a good positive interaction. And yet I realized, and I had the discipline to realize. Wrong.
There it is. There's your minute. And you didn't finish.
Yeah, no chance.
No, I did. Wrongly so, they would have considered me stranger danger. And I'm not.
So
now,
you just told a
Minji
story
Lee might have considered me stranger danger.
Is that what I heard? You just
yeah,
decided to
I did, but
the
I didn't.
With the
but
conversation,
I didn't. But I didn't because they would have considered me
to children.
Because they would have considered me stranger danger
what,
on an
what
elevator.
You decided not to creep people out.
What kind of story
That's
is that?
That's the story you told.
Because I'm showing you my discipline.
It's not discipline not to talk to people you don't know. Usually people go through life and that's how they act. It's not discipline.
I typically don't like talking to people I don't know.
Except,
typically,
well, you
I
like
don't.
Talking to either attractive on
planes,
women on the plane or famous
I don't,
people.
I don't care what she looked like. She's
Stop
an LPGA
it.
Champion.
You didn't know that until you talked to her.
I don't care how she looked.
That's the thing we didn't even investigate. He didn't know what she did for a living until he talked to her. He saw what he deemed an attractive woman to go, you know what, I'm going to have a conversation.
That's not what I deem. That's what you're deeming.
John?
Creepy.
It's not creepy. It's not
we
creepy.
You...
She asked.
No.
You know what? Here's the thing. Oh, no. You guys want to know how
not
nice
really.
Of a person I am?
No.
No. I'm going to tell you right
we
now.
Don't.
This is No, you've never had this happen to you. I let her borrow a charger. I went into my bag,
Look
got a
nice
charger, said, and I said, you can borrow my – because her side didn't work. I said, you can borrow mine. That's fine. You can charge on my side. Here's a charger. You don't have a cord because yours is international, because yours is Australian.
Hot.
Here's a cord for you to use. And guess what? At the end of the flight, the flight attendant came over and said, hey, I want to – do you want credit or
That's a lie.
Miles? No, I swear on Jesus. She said, do you want credit or miles? I said, for what? She goes – that was really sweet what you did. I said, no, I don't need
Excuse
anything.
Me.
I just let her. No.
Excuse
no.
Me.
What?
What's her name?
I got 5,000 miles. I got
Minji Lee.
Minji Lee. If Minji Lee looked like Craig Stadler, would she have been able to borrow his
yes.
charger?
Yeah, absolutely.
In your side, no chance.
Absolutely.
No. At the Walrus,
Craig
was
Stadler,
the one who
the
needed
Walrus?
Help. That's his nickname. I didn't make that up.
The Walrus could have. The Walrus could have
no
used
way.
My side to charge, yeah.
No way.
When I was done charging.
Yeah, you would have made the Walrus
I immediately unplugged for Minji Lee because she's an LPGA champ.
You didn't know that beforehand.
We got a
I
break
had a feeling.
Here on ESPN
I had a funny 97.5
and 92.5. One more segment.
She had a golfer's look to her.
And then we
Stop
will...
Stop it. She looks like a girl from Shogun look to her.
Yeah, that's true. She
She's
does look
Korean,
more like
not
Shogun.
Japanese.
You didn't know that.
Doesn't
Stop.
Matter.
You didn't know Stop. That.
It doesn't matter. She does look like more like Shogun. Okay.
That doesn't. So does Craig Stadler in a way.
What?
Breaking it here. One segment, then news of the weird. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, stuff we missed. Did you guys see Jameis Winston interviewing a fish this weekend?
Did we see who?
Jameis Winston interviewing a fish?
No.
Yeah, it was stupid.
was really.
If Jameis Winston had a streaming show on Netflix, I'd never watch it. His stuff's dumb.
Yeah. His stuff it, is just and it was dumb. I don't know which was dumber, the W.
That was pretty dumb.
That was pretty dumb. Or him interviewing the fish. I don't know. It was pretty, because the fish didn't say anything, really.
Well, it's because it's a fish.
It's a fish, yeah.
Now, if that fish talk, we have a different thing altogether. If the fish talk back, then I'm interested in this conversation. Yeah. How did he find a fish that would talk? But I'm not, I haven't been interested in anything Jameis has done since the 30-30 season. You know how Kyle Tucker was really upset and probably affected his playoff performance? He didn't get his 30-30 season. Jameis in his 30-30 season, spectacular. I don't know what Kyle Tucker's whining about. Do what Jameis did and we'll have a conversation.
Except Kyle Tucker's were both positive 30s.
Yeah, I think the 30-30 was positive for me.
Okay. Did you see this stat? You're a numbers guy, Lance. Caitlin Clark sold more Fever jerseys in one day than the entire Cowboys roster last season.
That can't be true.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
there's
how
no
many
way
people
that's
were,
true.
Wait a minute. How many new guys on the Cowboys were people buying jerseys for?
Yeah, but Michael Parsons is still getting a lot of jerseys.
Well, yeah, I guess. I mean, but he what is
CeeDee Lamb?
Fourth year
you
in the league?
You mean to tell me more than CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons,
yes.
Tyler Biadasz?
Tyler Biadasz? What? How many Cowboys jerseys can you buy? They don't change their uniforms. And if you bought a Micah Parsons jersey in 2022, it's going to be the same thing in 2023.
Micah Parsons had the fifth best-selling jersey. He had the best-selling jersey in NFL last year.
He was second behind Patrick Mahomes.
And Dak was fifth. And she still sold more.
I don't believe that.
How many did she sell? I know Fanatics couldn't keep up with the
demand. In one day, you said? That can't be true.
In one day.
That can't be true. Not for a whole season.
Every player on the Cowboys roster, and Micah was first, and Dak was fifth in the league, and she sold more jerseys. How about that?
Yeah, I don't believe it.
This is according
one
to
day.
Dick Weiss.
Talk to athletes.
Of the
who
New York
Dick
Daily
Weiss?
News. You what?
Who knows who that is?
Well, he writes for the Daily News.
He's from the New York Daily News, a reputable news source, not the NFL Network like you.
Honestly, do you actually believe that's true, that one full year, and we're talking about fans in Mexico, fans in Europe, fans in – you think that there's anyone in Mexico City or Germany or London who are buying Caitlin Clark jerseys? That can't be true.
Well,
for the whole team
I'm not
combined.
Gonna, well, you're just versus, calling Dick for, Weiss a liar.
Dick Weiss, I don't think you're reading the stat right. I don't think you're reading. I think you're misreading something.
Okay, let me read it to you again.
Either Dick
read
Weiss is a liar or you're stupid, John, because you can't read.
Because I can't read. Okay, let me read it to you again. Okay. Caitlin Clark sold more Fever jerseys in one day than the entire Cowboys roster last season.
Yeah, that sounds like a big fat
and
lie.
Considering the Cowboys linebacker Micah Parsons had the best-selling jersey in the NFL last year, and quarterback Dak Prescott placed fifth on that same list, Clark outselling the entire team is simply mind-blowing.
I'm going to read. Okay, that's.
I'm going to get me one, an Indiana Fever 22 jersey.
I want you to.
I do.
Where are you going to wear it?
I want you to wear it on the show.
I'll wear it on the show. I ain't scared of it.
All right, let me see here.
I don't ever want to be fair to Lance, because why would I? I don't know where Dick Weiss doesn't appear to be citing any sources. He just writes it on his Twitter. I'm not saying he's a liar. He's a national sports writer, Hall of Famer.
Okay, why would Dick Weiss lie to
me? I'm not saying. I just don't know where he got the information from, because he doesn't cite anything.
Okay, here's where it comes from. Fanatic CEO Michael Rubin, who hosts the White Party, you know, the famous White Party that James went to whenever he tricked off the San Antonio Spurs
white
game.
White power!
The Fanatic CEO Michael Rubin said that her Indiana Fever's jersey sold more on draft night than any player in any sport in the company's history. Now, ever? Or what's the time frame? What does that mean?
What do you mean? He just said in any person in history ever.
For their entire juncture. Their entire. So more Pat Mahomes jerseys in one night, she has more jerseys sold than Pat Mahomes has.
In one day, it sold more than
any
other.
But it doesn't say that.
Okay, read it again.
Okay, I'll read it again. This is what it says. Caitlin, the latest example, Fanatics CEO Michael Rubin said that her Indiana Fever's jersey sold more on draft night than any player in any sport in the company's history. Does that mean on their draft nights? Because I could see that. On draft night, I could see that.
Well, I could certainly
see. Big deal anyway. But what you said was more than the entire Cowboys roster.
Yeah.
Well, what does that mean? Not for a whole year. There's no way she sold more in one night than they sold all last year for the Cowboys. That can't be possible.
Well, why can't that be possible?
There's fans internationally. Because she's not an international sensation. The Cowboys are an international sensation.
You don't know that other countries aren't watching her?
Yeah, I do. I never see anyone talk about her outside of this country. They don't watch WNBA basketball.
Yeah.
There's lots, many people and many different types of people that I talk to, their Twitter accounts that I see. I haven't seen Sam Monson mention her once, and he's originally from Ireland, and he's at Pro Football Focus. Not once has he mentioned her that I know of.
Oh, you mean the strictly football guy hasn't mentioned the women's basketball player?
Exactly.
Listen.
Where are all these WNBA fans come from? I get Caitlin Clark has a lot of
fans. Granddaughter wants one. Charlie wants one right now. Okay.
Charlie also wants a Mahomes jersey.
No, she doesn't.
She doesn't want anything to do with Mahomes.
Charlie is less than, how old is Charlie,
15 months.
How do you know she wants
her one? Her mom just told me.
Okay. Are you calling a mom a liar?
Yeah.
No, I'm saying, what are you doing, John, where she doesn't want a Stroud jersey? The hell kind of dad are you?
No, I already got her. Don't worry, she's already got her Texans
granddad.
Gear. Granddad for Steffi.
She's
got her Texans gear. Already.
Is it a Stroud jersey?
She's got Texans gear. She's got Astros gear.
Does she have a Hunter jersey?
She doesn't have a Hunter jersey. No. She does not have a Hunter jersey.
There's no point of buying a Stroud jersey now. The new ones are coming out. You're going to see him tomorrow.
Oh,
why would he buy a jersey?
Yeah.
An old one.
I'm going.
What about a Petrie?
John's had a lot of slander for Petrie.
I know. Unnecessary slander. Although, you know what I found out is that Petrie, when he was in college, Dave Aranda had different rules for him where he could kind of do whatever he wanted to, and now he's having to learn how to play safety. One of the reasons he's making mistakes is Baylor let him just roam, kind of the J.J. Watt stuff where he could just, you know, dart inside if he wanted to, and everyone else has to respond around him doing his own thing. Apparently, that's what Jalen Petrie had some of that. They let him be just kind of a total rover and go make plays, and now that he's in structure, it's taken him a while to learn how to play in structure.
Lance, have you ever seen numbers as far as how many jerseys are sold? I've seen lists about, this player
sold the most. I've only seen lists. I've never seen totals.
Yeah, no one's ever. So I don't know. Why is it so incredible when we never see the numbers of jerseys sold? We just see,
Michael Rubin also is a little squirrely. So
you've been throwing slander at several.
No. Michael Rubin is. You know who I know? Because his competition, Panini, told me.
Oh, his competition told you.
Yep. Yeah, and he has the white party. I mean, come on.
He knows.
Where everyone dresses up in all whites, and he's like, have you ever seen anything from that party? And have we ever gotten invited? Not one single time.
Why would you be invited? Why would any of us be invited? No one wants to have a guy come to the party talking about the draft.
Yeah.
You're actually white.
You'll have mustard all over your white.
You want to be there because you're white?
White party?
It's about the
color. I thought.
I've never seen you wear
just
white clothes.
Clothing, and everyone wears linens.
Do you think you'd look
Who
good?
Who wears linen?
All white?
Linen always it easily wrinkles. Who wants to wear linen?
You don't iron your t-shirts.
Unless it's
what
too hot.
About?
It's in Ohio. I wouldn't go. You know what? If he invited me, wouldn't go. You know why? Number one, because he's lying about Caitlin Clark and he's trying to make the NFL look bad.
This is what this came down to? The NFL looking bad?
Because now you look bad. Now your league looks bad because Caitlin Clark is more popular than your league.
She's not.
Yeah, she is. Yes, she is.
She's not more popular.
Oh, your league
than
combined.
NFL. She's more likable.
She is much more likable. Did y'all see?
Really? Okay. Well, I'll make sure and tell Lynette Woodard, Sue Bird, Diana Taurasi, Angel Reese, what's her name, Mulkey. I'll make sure and tell people on Twitter who don't like her for reasons. I'll
now
make sure
name
tell
all the
all
NFL players
so
people
likely.
Don't like.
Yeah. Okay.
I know somebody that everyone likes, Tyreek Hill.
No, not everybody.
That's the last.
Not
guy
all the women that are suing him.
You Dak,
they don't like him. They don't like.
What about
him.
Dak?
Yeah. No, don't
CJ
like
Stroud.
Dak. No, don't like. He's overpaid.
Dak's in a lawsuit too.
Yeah.
CJ Stroud is not in a lawsuit.
Yeah, no. But he has negative things to say about Houston women.
He did.
Yeah.
No, he likes LA women.
Yeah, but Houston's still. Yeah, but Houston's still loves him. Who's the most likable NFL player? Kirk Cousins.
What? Most
likable. You can't hate him
NFL
now that quarterbacks
player?
Has come out.
JJ.
I can't say. Nah. People in Houston, for some reason, don't even like him. And he didn't play football anymore.
All right, we got to break it. News of the Weird coming your way next. All-State siding right now, though.
All-State windows and siding. All-State windows and siding. You know how I know it's All-State windows and siding? Because they do an incredible job for ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 listeners of installing windows with no glass breakage. They custom measure so that your windows will fit properly to each frame. They are going to make sure that that you get the deep discounts for being an ESPN and 97.5 and 92.5 listeners. You have to tell them, and you're going to get a bigger discount. The windows are made in Texas. A lot of windows right now that are being made are made in China. They're not as good a quality. They're made fast, but they're not made well. And these are made in Texas for Texas weather, specifically with the rain, the humidity, the hail, the wind that we deal with hurricanes, some places tornadoes. They're specifically designed and built with our weather in mind. And what you have is a window that looks great. It's a huge upgrade to the appearance of your home, but not just the appearance of your home. They're also going to make sure that your windows are going to reduce noise. They're going to add a level of safety. And of course, they're going to be able to keep that dust out and the air conditioning in. AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com. Make sure that you get your windows to help lower your energy bills. AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com.
ESPN 97.5.
All right, welcome back. Did you guys happen to go to the fish orgy in California? Apparently there was a full moon, and they need the full moon because they need a high tide. So they roll up on the shore and have sex. And a Southern California citizen scientist watched, and he said it was unruly. Thousands of them all making noise. Looked like the post-apocalyptic Marine Mad Max. Do you guys want to go and watch a fish orgy ever?
No, I'm good.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm good.
Apparently now in Alabama, it is not good to be a librarian. A new bill targeting librarians for supplying minors with certain content in public libraries. They could be arrested. Do you want to be a librarian in Alabama?
Supplying minors sounds like something really filthy and egregious.
That's exactly what they're... It's quote-unquote supplying minors.
You mean the books that are in the building?
Yes.
That's supplying?
Yes. In many libraries around... Many libraries in the state of Alabama, there are obscene, which is illegal or sexually graphic, inappropriate, harmful to minor materials in the children's section.
Do they name some of the obscene books?
What
is Thomas the Train doing that we don't know about?
What a train?
Stop it.
No. Next question.
Okay, you just answered your own question, I'm pretty sure.
It's a train with a face. All it does is choo choo.
Yeah. Okay, well whatevs.
With his buddies.
There is an ambulance driver who had a bad night. Apparently pulled up on an accident and hit the cop and a lady who were there at the scene, who were helping in an accident on White Avenue. Around 2 a.m., I reportedly found the woman in distress in a parking lot near. The EMS driver arrived and ran over the woman and an officer.
Wow.
Good thing there was an ambulance on site, though. Oh, it was him that did it. An Idaho lawmaker is asking if swallowing small cameras could allow remote gynecological exams. Do you think if you swallow a camera, you could get a gynecological exam?
Wait. No, what? Why are you doing? I guess you could. What? No. That seems like a lot. No, that's not how the intestinal tract works.
Probably not. It goes into your stomach, probably, right? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen. And yet, still elected in Idaho. Okay? Still able to get elected.
Listen, I've noticed it doesn't take a lot to get elected anymore.
No, it really, really doesn't. University of Alabama Birmingham apparently is being accused in a lawsuit of stealing dead Alabama prisoners' inmates' organs after autopsies. Do you feel like UAB will steal your organs?
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, it really kind of is. It really kind of is. If UAB is stealing dead prisoner inmates' organs, they're just looking to work on stuff, right?
Yeah. Okay,
a Metropolitan Police officer in London has had to apologize after the officer said an anti-Semitic charity leader looked openly Jewish. Do you feel like people look openly Jewish?
Openly?
Yeah. So, well, wow. He was wearing a yarmulke.
So, yeah. Wait, so the leader was anti-Semitic? Or the comment was anti-Semitic? You said...
Sounds like the comment.
You meant the comment, right? Because it made it sound like the leader he was insulting, quote-unquote, was anti-Semitic.
No. He called the guy openly Jewish. That was anti-Semitic.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Makes sense.
He said he was at a pro-Palestinian rally, and he said he was told by police that his presence was causing a breach of peace. And he did say, well, he does look openly Jewish. I didn't know. I've never thought of it looking openly Jewish.
I know you even get in trouble for saying something, depending on what you're pointing at, saying something. Someone looks Jewish, but openly Jewish suggests that they're Jewish people who are hiding what they look like, who they are. What are you talking about?
Aren't you, if you're looking Jewish, you're just looking Jewish,
you're
right?
Just Jewish. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like he should have not said what he said, John. I am against saying anti-Semitic things if you haven't heard. I'm against it.
Yes. No.
You've come out against it.
As a show, we're against.
This show can be deemed problematic, but what we are against is anti-Jewish sentiment.
Right.
I'm anti-slurring anyone.
That's true.
It's great.
That's not great.
Apparently, a man tried to rob a bank using a translator app. And I think you should... If you're going to rob a bank, I think you should probably have that ready. It took him so long to figure out how to tell the clerk that he was robbing them that he got arrested.
This is a stick-up, bitch. Put all of the money into the bag.
What language did he want to translate? Into English or to a different language?
Yeah, to English.
Yeah, he wanted in Sandusky, Ohio.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think they speak English there.
Sure.
So, I'm pretty sure. I don't know.
I don't know if there's a high Korean population with a Korean bank in some. Maybe that's what he was doing. I don't know. But he was speaking into his phone and saying.
He was telling
and then
his
he'd
phone
hit translate,
in his language.
And he'd hit translate and then he'd hit play.
And it wasn't
put
working.
All of the money into the bag, bitch, and no one gets hurt.
Yeah. Apparently that's how it went down. Yeah.
I wish
just
phone,
more dumb crime.
Too bad his phone didn't sound like this.
Bitch.
Well, okay. We're done. The Delvin and Dewey show. What is it next?
Delvin and Melvin, it's called.
Delvin and Melvin.
Is that what Sean Mapes' name is? Melvin now?
We don't know. No one knows.
No, I think it's. I know he was off on Friday, but I think his name is
still
Sean.
No one knows what his name is now.
That's Sean.
Hey, John, we know what John Daspin's name is.
John Daspin's name is John Daspin. And it's pretty much as easy as it gets there. I was listening to one of the recorded spots that was on, and it talks about Harris County. And it's true. John Daspin's as big as it gets in Harris County. Biggest settlements, the most cases, all that. But did you know that John Daspin expands throughout the state of Texas? I mean, he's big down if you head towards Victoria, where his wife is from. He's big on in the coast as you head east. And you go into all the offshore and refinery stuff. John has handled some of the biggest refinery blasts. He had a huge case that took a few years. And he represented so many people there because they understand that he's the best. He's the best at finding out and making sure that all your bills are collected and paid for. Your hospital stay, your surgeries, your plastic surgery. Because refinery blasts is a serious, serious issue. So is loss of life. And he deals with that way too often. And that comes from people's negligence. Out on the roadway, out at the workplace, there's a variety of times where people can be injured. And John Daspin wants you to go to his lawsuit and find out about it. under the court under the cases they handle on personal injury. It's DaspitLaw.com, but he is a personal injury lawyer that, frankly, is just substantially better than anyone else out there on the market because he has a wide variety of lawyers working for him to scour every single case and to make sure you are taken care of and compensated for your pain, suffering, and all of your bills. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Hopefully you'll never need them. If you do, you're going to be glad I gave you the phone number. 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Bye, babe.